of today's sermon is keep yourself pure. Can we say that together? Keep yourself. That's actually in a Bible verse. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. Can you open there? 1 Timothy 5, 22. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. There's such a Bible verse that actually says that directly. Who is ready? 1 Timothy 5, 22. Yes. Who is ready? Thank you. I take two versions. Okay. That's New Living, and then I'll come to New King James. 1 Timothy 5, 22. Please go on.
Yeah. 1 Timothy 5, 22 from New Living Translation.
Yes.
It says, never be in a hurry about appointing a church leader. Do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure.
Amen. It says, do not share in the sins of what? Of others. Or do not join others to commit sin. Even if they are the crowd. Keep yourself pure. It's not like what I tell my son all the time. I say it's okay to be different. Yeah, if you are standing for the Lord. Amen. It's okay to be different. It's okay to be the only one. Yeah? Because God is proud of you. Amen. Let's have it from another version, 1 Timothy 5. 22, and we're going to have it from Brother Timothy.
New King James Version. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure.
Amen. 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 Don't go, you know, a way to say that is that don't just approve everything. Yeah? Amen. Laying hands in that context is ordaining someone, approving them. You have to have discernment. Amen? Don't join in the sins of others. Don't vouch for what you don't know. Amen? Keep yourself what? Pure. Amen? Now, to open up this message, I want to show you something about God. There are only two places in the Bible that God reveals what's happening directly in heaven. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah had a revelation of the throne room. Then Revelation chapter 4. Apostle John had a revelation of the throne room. So let's go there. And because I want to reveal something about the character of God. Isaiah 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, I want us to read verse 1. Just for time. Verse 1 to... Actually, you know what? Let me see. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. Verse 1 to... Let me just take it. Verse 1 to 7. Verse 1 to 7. Isaiah 6, 1 to 7. Who's ready? Isaiah 6, 1 to 7. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Let's take it to 8. Go on. Okay. Please listen attentively or following your Bible.
New King James Version. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne.
I saw the Lord sitting where?
On a throne.
Amen. Amen. Where was he sitting? I know in this story I've told you many things. Who is the one that sits on the throne? The Father. Amen. Amen. The Father sits on the throne. Amen. The Son sits as his right hand. Continue.
High and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew.
Okay, let me just pause there. So when you enter the throne room of God, the Father, the Father is always sitting on the throne. Amen. No shaking. Hallelujah. No shaking. Hallelujah. And around the throne of God, yeah, there are how many creations? Did it tell you numbers? He doesn't. Where do we tell us in Revelation? Yeah? But it describes them. Yes. These are creatures that have what? 6 wings. And it gives us their name. They are seraphim. Seraphim is a plural of seraph. Amen? The seraph is a creature, yeah, that sits in the heavenly temple. They are the stewards of God. That's their position. They attend to the Father. Amen? And they are 6-winged. Amen? I just want to just start stamping your head. Yeah? Around the throne, yeah, you have the seraph. And plural is seraphim. They have 6 wings. And they attend to the Father. Please continue.
And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory."
Amen. Amen. What are they saying? It's the deepest revelation of worship. If you want a deeper revelation, you need to find out what's happening at the throne room. Amen. Amen. The deeper revelation of worship is not Waymaker. Is what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Because of time today, yes, let me leave there and jump to Revelation 4. Go to Revelation 4. This was the only glimpse of the throne room in the Old Testament. God shows us a glimpse of the throne room. Amen. Amen. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 4. Let me just verify the verse. If you find the verse before me, tell me which verse. Revelation chapter 4. Thank you, you are here. Little of audience alike. Amen. Amen? Because of this content, let's start from 1 so that we can see what's going on there. And let me see where to start. This one is a longer read. Okay? So Revelation chapter 4, read from verse 1 to verse 8. Well, we can add verse 9, but verse 8. Go on.
New King James.
Yes.
After these things I looked.
This was Apostle John. And Apostle John, in this book of Revelation, first he has seen Jesus. And Jesus told him about the 7 churches. But this is the point in Revelation that the rapture will happen. Because Revelation is the model of reality. So after the churches, or after the church age, John is called up to heaven. Like a model of how the church will be what? Will be called up. He was called up to the throne room. Now, it's an uncommon experience. Yeah? At least as written in the Bible. We know Paul also went to the throne room because he said it. Yeah? But he was forbidden. Amen? He was forbidden to tell us what he saw. Amen? But John is permitted. Amen? Continue.
After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this."
Hallelujah. Let me just pause there and say something. You see, when we talk about the rapture, we talk about the trumpet of the Lord. Yeah? But in the book of Revelation, it is revealed to us that the voice of Jesus is like the voice of what? A trumpet. It says his voice is like the sound of many waters. So the trumpet of the rapture is not a trumpet. All the trumpets in Revelation are judgment. Yeah? It's the voice. So when it's time for the rapture, Jesus, it's also in First Thessalonians, he said, we with the voice, yeah, he will shout, or he won't shout, he will call his saints. That's the trumpet. So the voice that is calling John up, like the voice of a trumpet, is what? Is the voice of Jesus. Come up. Just like it will be at the rapture. Amen? The world will not hear that voice. Let me explain to you. You see, if you can hear, yeah, he will speak to you. But if you are hard of hearing, he will blow you a trumpet. And it's a trumpet of judgment. Do you get the principle? So the trumpet revelation, they are for those who are what? Dull. They are dull of hearing. So he has to bring their attention through judgment. For his saints, yeah, he will just call them with his loving voice that calls them up. But the world will not hear it. They can't because their ears are what? Are dull. They are hard of hearing. Are you following the principles of that book? So continue.
Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne.
A throne in heaven again, and what? One sat. Who sits on the throne? It's not the Lamb. You know, I told you. It's who? I know that in church we are always getting to singing the Lamb upon the throne. It's just not correct. Amen. If you look at Revelation, that Lamb does not sit on the throne. The Lamb stands actually. Revelation 5, the Lamb is standing in the midst of the throne. Yeah? Because there's hierarchy in God. Yeah? And is the Father. Amen? The Father sits on the throne. And that's his permanent position. Until the end of time. Then he will come down and dwell with his people. Amen? So one sat upon the throne. Continue.
And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads.
Let me just explain that. You see, in Isaiah, you cannot see 24 elders. It's the same throne room. Mm. Amen? Mm. So the 24 elders were not in the Old Testament. And they were not from the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. The 24 elders are the elders of the church. I mean, not now. Those who laid the foundations of the church. So we know out of those 24, we have the 12 apostles. Amen? Amen. But even in your Bible, there are not only 12 apostles. Paul was an apostle. Barnabas. Mm-hmm. Silas. James, the brother of Jesus. And even Jude, he wrote a book. Brother of Jesus. So there are more apostles, foundational than the 12. And these are the elders of the church age. Yeah? So, and this is modeling the future. There are no 24 elders there now. Are you with me? They are in heaven, but they are not around the throne. They are not sitting as elders. But when the rapture happens, yeah, the saints will be resurrected. We will have received our eternal body. Amen. Yeah? They will be crowned. They will be clothed. And they cannot. And the reason why they are not sitting in council is that it's time to judge the world. And you read it in the Bible. It says the saints will judge the world. It says even the saints will judge angels. Of course, fallen angels. And that's why you have the representative of the church now at the throne room. Yeah? As part of the court sitting to judge the world. Are you with me? And that's why you see 24 elders there. But they were not there in Isaiah 6. Continue.
And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God.
Continue verse 6. This is where we're going to verse 6. Continue.
Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back.
So now we come to the point whereby we see in the midst of the throne and around the throne. So basically they cycle. Yeah? So I know you may not understand the midst. Yeah? Think of concentric circles. Yeah? So we have the 24 elders around the throne. But go inside. You have the four creatures around the throne. So they are in the midst because they are in an inner circle compared to the 24 elders. Amen?
Amen.
But they are around the throne. And how many are there? There are four. Continue.
The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings.
How many wings?
Six wings.
Six. Six wings. Can you see the match? They have six wings. Just like in Isaiah 6. Continue.
each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within.
They were full of eyes all around. Now we are going to where we are going to continue, finish it.
And they do not rest day.
They
or
do
night.
Not rest day or what?
Or night.
Continue.
Saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the first revelation of worship in the book of Revelation. Amen. This is the worship that goes on day and what? And night. Amen. And what are they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Hallelujah. It's going on right now. Hallelujah. And it will continue. Amen. Amen. So the question we're asking ourselves is, what is it about the holiness of God? You know, like, they didn't cry, "Mighty, mighty, mighty. Loving, 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 loving. Faithful, 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 faithful." But it's holy, holy, holy. Yeah? So question, I have a question. What is the meaning of holy? What does it mean to be what? Well, actually, there are two questions. So from the God side and then the man side. What does it mean to say that God is holy? Because for me to ever understand worship, I need to understand that word. Whatever I've not started. Yeah? What does it mean? Why are they saying holy, holy? They find that that's the best statement to tell God. Holy, holy. What does it mean that when I say God is holy? What does it mean? Yes? Let's take some answers. Just a minute. I'll come to you. God is holy. What does it mean when I say God is holy?
Set apart.
God is set apart. Oh, let me say that another way. You know, the scripture says, there is none holy like what? The Lord. There is none what? Beside. It's in the Bible. It's a Bible verse in the New Testament. Neither is there any God. What? You see, no matter the idol someone is having or how powerful they are, even they have juju or whatever they have, yeah? They are not holy like the Lord. Amen. There is none holy as the what? As the Lord. It's in his own class. No other God can ever compare with him. Hallelujah. You can't manipulate him. You can't control him. You can't colonize him. You can't, you know, make him, you know, kill your enemy for you. Just like that. He will still follow his own. He can kill your enemy for you, but he will follow his own principles. Amen. You're not going to get some juju for him to go and kill your enemy. Amen. More. God is holy. What does it mean to say God is holy?
Blameless and spotless.
Is blameless and what? Spotless. Another way of saying that God always does what is right. God, as in like, he can never do wrong. If he did wrong, he has self-destruct. Amen? Yes, more? God is holy. What does he mean?
Pure and righteous.
He is pure. He is what? He is pure. God is pure. God is pure. Did I see your hand? Did you want to say something? Okay. Yeah, pure and righteous. So I will say the key words of defining holiness from the God point of view is purity. Righteousness. Please, understand what I mean by righteousness. Righteousness from the God point of view means that he always does what is right. Amen? Righteousness and what? And what? And purity. That is God. He is what? Holy. And there is none. None. Whether human or angel or God. There is what? There is holy like a God. Now let me ask you another question. What is holiness? And of course, because he is righteous and pure. The next word we can say to understand, just to capture it perfectly, that is sinless. Is what? God can never do wrong. Amen. He cannot. That's the God. That's what sets him apart from any other God. That's what sets him apart from the 360 million gods of Hinduism. He is what? He is sinless. He is stainless. Amen? He is righteous. He is what? He is pure. Hallelujah. So when I'm worshiping him, that's the depth of your worship. Amen? That's the depth of your worship, to understand who God is and to appreciate that. That's the God I'm serving. You know, because he's that, I can trust him. Amen? I can depend on Hallelujah. Now, let me ask the second question is, what does it mean to be holy from the man point of view? What is holiness from the man point of view? Okay, before you go there, let me challenge you. Very good there. Open your Bible to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're looking at verse 15 and 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. So I want to tell you that the deepest, if you want to understand the character of God, and I've taught in this study, I said, your faith will never rise beyond your understanding of who God is. Amen. It's your knowledge of God that determines your confidence in God. Amen? So, your faith is not just about, oh, I believe and I'm confessing and that. No, that is still shallow. When you want to enter faith, you will know God. Hallelujah? The more you know God, yeah, the more faith you will hear. Now, Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know why? Because it's the word of God that reveals God to you. Amen? The word of God reveals God to you. So that's why you need the word of God if you're going to have faith. But the goal of the word of God you need is for you to understand who God is. To know the nature, the character of God. You understand who he is and who he is not. Then you can operate based on that. And that's faith. So I understand that even my faith cannot go to the deepest level until I understand that God is holy. God, that is the depth of his character. Hallelujah. You want to go into God deep. What you find what is what? Is holiness, righteousness, purity. Hallelujah. Can I ask you a question before I go to the next that verse? What is the opposite of purity? Google. Let's ask the ladies. What's the opposite of purity? Now I've gotten an answer. Impurity, I take it. But obviously, it looks like we just flipped it over, yeah? Any other word? Corruption! It's corruption! If it's not pure, it is what? It is corrupt! If it is something that is pure, yeah? And you add something to it, or manipulate it, you have corrupted it. Amen? When God created Lucifer, Lucifer was pure. But when iniquity, he said you were perfect in all your ways. Until what? Iniquity was found in you. That's corruption. Amen? Hallelujah. So when we say that God is pure, we must understand in the context of corruption. Amen. Now, 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. Let's have it. 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. The title of this sermon is Keep Yourself Pure. And it's part 2. We've done the part 1 in the past. Yes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. Were you ready? Yes, you can take it now. 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. Tell us which version.
New Living Translation.
Okay, go for it.
But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy.
Hallelujah. Let's have it at King James or New King James. 1 Peter 1. 15 to 16. You didn't want to do it, twin. Okay. Go for it. First Peter 1, 15 to 16.
But As he who called you is holy.
As he who called you. Who called you? It's God. Amen. Say with me, say, God called me. God called. Come on, say this. Say, God called me. Say, I'm born again. Because I'm a child of God. He has called me. Hallelujah. Are you at peace with that statement? Good. Yes, continue. As he who called you, yes?
Is holy.
Is holy.
You also be holy in all your conduct.
In all your conduct. Be holy. Why? Why? What's the reason?
Because it is written, be holy for I am holy.
Amen. I want you to give an assignment later when you have time. Because we have technology now. Search how many times you see holy or holiness in the Bible. You enjoy yourself. Contrast it how many times you see love. Just for, you know. You have technology. Let's use it. Amen. Let me try to make you understand this. It's not, it doesn't look like something, you know, like, I don't know, something, what's the word I'm looking for? Scary. Amen? As he who called you is what? Is holy. You don't, he's like, you are a son of God, you're a daughter of God. You are called to be like him. You are the ambassador of Christ. We model him in the world. God is not going to come down physically to this world. You know where he is? He's sitting on the throne. But don't forget it. He's omnipresent because his spirit is everywhere. Amen? The Holy Spirit is so powerful. The way the Holy Spirit, you know, in Bible calls him the seven spirits of God. And you think about it, it's one Holy Spirit. It's multidimensional. Amen? The Holy Spirit is in you and is in me and is in you. It's giving us different specific messages at the same time, but without contradiction. Yeah? The Holy Spirit is in Basingstoke and is in Brazil and is in the Indian Ocean and the Arctic. Amen? Even in the beginning, I always say that the Spirit of the Lord was moving where? Upon the face of the world. So God is everywhere spiritually. He can reach everywhere. Hallelujah. But God is not going to come down physically until the end of time. Yeah? But at the same time, God has come down physically when Jesus came down. Amen? And even in the Old Testament, God was coming down physically. He was visiting them occasionally. Yeah? It was Jesus. Like you see, Abraham, God came down with two angels and ate with Abraham. Amen? So you can see, God is on the throne, but at the same time, is reaching us. Amen? But in this world today, God will operate through you and me. So that's why he said, be ye holy, for I am what? Because you are my like, I can only represent it the way it likes to be what? Represented. Are you following it? It's natural. Hallelujah. Now let's, so, and remember, this is a command. It's not automatic. Every time God is commanding you, you have something to do about it. If you have nothing to do about it, he doesn't need to command you. He will just tell you, you are holy. But he said what? Be ye holy. Now, question. What is holiness from the man point of view? And the first answer I got last time is correct. It applies. What is holiness from man's point of view? What does it mean for me to be holy? Or you? Did you put up your hand? I'm coming to you. Where was the other mic? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Did you put your hand? Yes. What is holiness from the man point of view?
To be sanctified.
To be sanctified. Yes, I take it. Someone gave me the answer before. You want to top it up?
To be set apart.
To be set apart.
Unto a life that is reserved to bringing God glory.
Amen. Now, the word we will use for that, you know, for that we call holy things sacred. Which means they are set or apart. I'm coming back to that definition. More?
Run away from sins.
Do run. You know what I like about that? Some sins, you will never overcome them until you, or except you run away. Please, hear the voice of wisdom. Yeah? There are some things that you must be looking at them far. See them come, and if they come close to you, you will not be able to resist.
Consecrated.
Consecration. So sanctification, consecration. I take them. They are good words. More? Any other person? Consecration. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Now all the answers are correct. To run away from sin is to be holy. Because to be holy is to be pure. Amen? But holiness is moral. If you have to, if I'm to define holiness, like in all realms, I would say it's moral purity. No what? Corruption. It is something to aspire to. And what I'm trying to say is that it's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil to make you feel that because you're born again, it doesn't matter what you do. God is holy. That's your aspiration. Amen? It's something you like. It's a terrible thing to accept corruption and take it as normal. You understand? You are born again. Corruption is not your normal deal. You're not a pig wallowing in the mud. Don't say, oh, you know what? I'm born again, so it doesn't matter. Don't accept corruption. Don't what? Corruption is to be resisted because corruption destroys. Corruption, yeah, destroys. So when you take something and you corrupt it, it starts to disintegrate. Hallelujah. Someone told me, like, yeah, you know, what's your problem? Are you the one that killed Jesus? I said, yes. It's me. It was because of me he went to the cross. Me, personally. He died for me. He died. Jesus died because of me. Until you make it personal, you will never live for him. Galatians 2:20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me. It's Christ living in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You cannot enter that level until you understood that he died for you. Oh, no, no, no. He died because of you. So I'm the one that what? I'm the one that killed Jesus. If you don't understand that, you don't know what it means to be born again. Because you never died. Amen? Hallelujah. That's how we die with Christ. Yeah? I crucified him. So now I owe him. Did you get it? If he died because of me, then what? I owe him. Do you get the idea? And if I live a life, understand that I owe him, it's a good way to live. It will motivate you to live right. Hallelujah. But if you are taking Christ as another, you know, someone told me, he said that, you know, we're talking about someone, you know, who was given a diagnosis of a terminal illness. And in fact, their case was so bad because they were rich, they've had savings. And like, not savings, they've made it. They've made it for the rest of their life. They can never be poor. They have a retirement home. Real case. This is not a fairy tale. Retirement home in Spain. And they are young. They have energy. You know, there are two issues. You know, sometimes you may spend all your life laboring hard to acquire wealth. Then by the time you finish acquiring wealth, you are old. So you don't have the energy to enjoy the wealth. But you know, the Bible talks about the case of a rich young ruler. That's where you want to be. Well, in the worldly sense. Because now you are rich, but you're also what? Young. Amen? Praise the Lord. So this man was young. He was rich. His own companies. He doesn't have to work again. So he goes to his retirement home in Spain. Life is good. And he flies back to the UK. And he goes to the hospital for whatever. I don't know what it was. And they gave him a diagnosis of a terminal disease. And he had 3 weeks to live. Okay. I stand to be corrected, but it was about that short. And so I go to visit my friend. They are neighbors. Next door neighbors. So he's describing, it happened this year. This 2023. And you know how I remember that, because my neighbor was like, oh, you know, he's a believer, but he doesn't come to church. That's his own pattern. my friend. So I come to him. I was like, he's telling him about his neighbor. Well, obviously, he was really bothered. said, now I made a comment. He said, that's why it's good to have Jesus. You know, it's like that star, because it's not long after Christmas. So the Christmas tree is still in his house. Jesus is like that star on your Christmas tree. I didn't say anything. When I went, the Holy Spirit within me was bothering me. That is foul, 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 foul reasoning. If Jesus is the star of your Christmas tree, you are going to hell. You only added him as another feather in your cap. Hello, sir. John 15. Jesus said, I am what? The vine. And you are what? The branches. He's not the star. He's the pole that holds the whole tree. If it's not the pole, you are not in Christ. You deceived yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you are in Christ, you want to live for him. Amen? Because you've meshed together. We are one. Then when Jesus comes and say, I am the Father and one, he's teaching you something deep. He's now prayed. He said, so that you too, yeah, can be what? One with us. We are sharing the identity. So my Father is holy. I want to be what? Holy. I don't want corruption. So that's what it means to keep yourself pure. So the point I want to, let me just say I'm doing with time. Probably I'll do it part three. The point I want to make is that, because there is none holy as the Lord. If you know he sing with me, it's a good song. It's a very good song. Good worship. There is none besides thee, besides the Lord, neither is there any rock like our God. There is none holy as the Lord. You know, before we were born again, yeah, when you hear that, you are running away. You see, when Adam sinned, he went to hide. Yeah, he went to hide. So God comes to the garden. And Adam, where are you? Can you imagine the scenario? God is asking Adam, where are you? He went to hide. Amen? But that was our situation before we got born again. But now that I'm born again, I'm not afraid of the holiness of God. I am aspiring to. So he's my Father. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah? I have changed inside. Now someone comes here and say, I'm holy. Well, yes. When you got born again, yeah, God gave you what? A new spirit. That spirit was holy. Hallelujah. But you know, your spirit can be stained. 1 John 1:9 tells us, he said, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us. Is that all? Is that all? And to what? From what? Unrighteousness can enter. Hello? If you are born again, but you're not walking in the light, unrighteousness can enter. Corruption is corruption. Corruption can enter. You can have something that is very pure, yeah? But it can be what? Corrupted. And that's why we must resist corruption. All through your life, we have cause to repent. It's part of how we remove what? Corruption. Amen? A Christian who is not repenting is piling up corruption. Hallelujah. Yeah? When you got angry and you took a rash decision or did a rash action that did not glorify God. Someone talked about being set about to glorify God. But you did that and did not glorify God because you were. You know, the Bible says, be angry and do not sin. But when I was a younger Christian, I thought that that's not correct. The Bible was supposed to write, be angry, but do not what? Sin. How can you say and? Be angry and do not sin. Versus be angry but do not sin. I thought it should be a but. But obviously, the Holy Spirit is right. Being angry is not necessarily a sin. Yeah? Until you're out of control. Amen? You see, if you couldn't get angry, yeah, you couldn't even correct a problem. Yeah? Something is going wrong. And it doesn't bother you. You're there, you're passing by every day, it doesn't bother you. How will you ever correct it? Yeah? If you have purpose and you have passion, there are some things that will annoy you. Do you agree? Yeah? If something is going wrong, imagine you spend all your time to paint the house and you painted it beautiful white. Everything sparkling. Then one child comes from the garden and begins to spread mud all over the wall. Will you be happy, Audrey? Amen. Amen. So you'll be angry. That's not a sin. But what are you going to do now? Yeah? What are you going to do now? Yeah? You're going to get even just to please your ego. That's a sin. Amen? Oh yes, you should correct the child. But first of all, control yourself. Hallelujah. When you're out of control, it's a sin. You can discipline a child, but in control. Amen? That's not a sin. To be out of control, yeah, is what? It's a sin. So you can be angry and not what? Sinning. So God, that you understand now that God can be angry. And that doesn't in any way remove anything from his love. Amen? In fact, if you have love, you must get angry from time to time. Because when things are going wrong and you really care, it gets you angry, won't it? That's why you read the Bible. Yeah? God has a plan for his people and then they just go up and do a mess. And you say God will not be angry. He'll be angry. But he will not act out of control. Amen? He will only do what is right. Praise the Lord. Let me see how I'm doing. So, yeah, so I still have like 10 minutes. Let me have 5 and then we'll use the remaining 5 to round up. So I want you just to finish on this note. So, what does it mean to be holy? There is none holy like the Lord. Like, you can't ever be holy like the Lord on your own. Do you get it? So the only way you can obey the commandment, be holy as I'm holy, is to set yourself apart unto God. Continue to interact with him. So that his holiness can rub off on you. Are you with me? Let me try to explain that again. See, when we talk about consecration, yeah? Consecration is you setting your body apart for godly purposes. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as what? A living sacrifice. Someone say it doesn't matter. It matters. It matters. Because there are two people that are born again, but one is presenting their body as a living sacrifice, one is not. Yeah? The devil will be having more inroads into the person that is not. Do you get it? If you don't see all the entry O's, you know, the other day I was fighting with ants in my kitchen. You know, I don't understand. I see ants there. I say, how did they enter? I locked the door. The window is locked. Sir Sharon, the door is locked. The window is locked. But I can see ants entering my kitchen. How? Yeah? So there must be what? Tiny, tiny O's in the ground. So I prayed. And the last year I blocked one of the holes. So no more ants. Praise the Lord. This year, ants again. So there were other holes. That's your lack of consecration. You know that consecration, yeah? You are taking your chances, going for excesses. Yeah? You are creating holes for the enemy to come in. And that enemy is called corruption. So consecration is you blocking the oaths. Amen? Sanctification is what's happening in your soul. Amen? Content. What the content you are consuming. If you don't control it, it will corrupt your soul. It doesn't matter how many years you've been a Christian. Hello? Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. I was saying at home fellowship, you cannot just afford to sit down and be watching TV and browsing phone all day. You must intentionally decide that this part of my day, I'm going to read the Bible, or I'm going to listen to Christian music, or I'm going to read a Christian book, or I'm going to listen to a sermon. If you don't do it, you will never walk in sanctification. Never ever. Because the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of what? You can't afford to. The word will never sanctify your mind. TV by default will never. TV by default is there to corrupt you. Yeah. So you must take some I'm not saying don't watch TV. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying that take intentional action every single day of your life to expose yourself to the word of God. It can come in many ways. It can be your Bible. It can be a sermon. It can be a Christian book. It can be Christian music. Yeah? And then, of course, fellowship is an important part of renewing your mind. Like, you're in church now. Your mind is being renewed. Hallelujah. You see, if you're not fellowshipping with the church, one third of your spiritual life is gone. You see, your spiritual life is resting on three legs. Your fellowship with the Father, your fellowship with the Son, and your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Your fellowship with the Son is activated in the church. Because the church is the body of Christ. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am what? I am there. So, if you meet a Christian and say, I'm super spiritual, I don't have anything to do with church, one leg is gone from their stool. They are only resting on what? Two legs. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, as I set myself apart, so the key words of setting yourself apart, or the key words of holiness from the man point of view, consecration, sanctification, fellowship. They all are three levels. So consecration has to do with your body. You present your body as what? A limit. It's called modesty. Modesty is not just in clothes. You have to control excesses. Anytime you're not controlling excesses, they will control you. You understand? So it's like, think about those holes for the ants. You're blocking them. Then sanctification is what's happening in your soul. Yeah? You are still, anytime you are renewing your mind and you're keeping away from what is corrupting, it's holiness. And then finally, in your spirit, yeah, is your fellowship. Your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It starts from the Word. You meditate on the Word. You have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. You obey instructions. You have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Your fellowship with the Father is prayer. And the simplest type of prayer is what? Please help me. I've taught it. What's the simplest type of prayer? In case someone says, I don't know how to pray. I'm struggling with prayer. What's the simplest type of prayer?
Prayer of Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving. It's so simple. Like if you are struggling with your prayer life, just praise and thank God for 30 minutes. You started. Amen. Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with what? We pray. My quiet time, 30 minutes is prayer, praise and thanksgiving. It's the simplest. Even if you are feeling low, you can still manage. Amen. And then you can now go to more advanced prayer. The most advanced type of prayer is supplication and intercession. That one, you will cry. I'm telling you, literally speaking, you will cry. Because Jesus cried. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 5, he said, in the days of his flesh, when he had made prayer and supplication, with strong crying and tears. If you're not crying and tears, you're not making supplication. Supplication basically is begging God to do something that is beyond your capacity, the capacity of your faith. Your faith cannot carry everything. Yeah? So when your faith is not carrying, what are you going to do? You're going to beg for mercy. You're going to cry. And God answers. Because another type of prayer. Okay, let's rise up. Let me leave it there. So I'll try to do a part two of this message. Because I feel that, you know, I've just introduced it. But what I'm really trying to stir up in your heart is that purity is desirable. Bible says in Matthew 5, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. For the shall what? It shall see God. So there are some things you never understand about God. Because you are not taking care of purity. Yeah? You can't see it. Your spiritual eyes, like they are blinded. But as you begin to remove the corruption, you will start seeing more. And in this day and time we are living, the challenge for purity is also is difficult to be pure. It's Timothy 3:1. He said it will be difficult times. Difficulty is not talking about economic downturn. It's a spiritual difficulty. There's so much corruption. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, you know, mean, selfish, cold. It's difficult to be to be pure. Hallelujah. But it's not what? Impossible. You know why? Because the God you are serving is holy. If I set my path, myself apart unto him, he will make me holy. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Just talk to God. What you want to do, just rededicate yourself to purity. And I want to tell you that purity is holiness. Amen? Purity is lack of corruption. And I tell you, every day of your life, the world is trying to corrupt you. You don't have to do anything about it. It is the standard influence. But remember who you are. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bible says I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy what? Nation. To show for the praises of him that has called me out of that. I have been called out of darkness. I don't want to go back and blend into that darkness. That's not who I am. I refuse to be that person. I am called to show for the praises of him who has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm a child of light. Say that to yourself. I'm a child of light. I live in the light. I walk in the light. I allow my light to shine in the midst of what? Of the darkness. I am a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master seat, prepared unto everyone. If there's going to be the only one that will serve God in this generation, it's me. And God will honor you when you do that. He will help you. Because he is faithful. He is loving. Hallelujah. God will help you. Don't be scared. We can never be scared of who God, if God is your father, his nature, yeah, is your natural aspiration. In fact, you already have it in you, in your spirit. You just have to let it blossom and come out. Yeah? You have it in seed form. But you have to let it blossom and come out because that's who you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We choose to walk in your holiness. Someone say, I'm righteous. Yeah? But the purpose of righteousness is holiness. Righteousness is what's happening inside. Holiness is how you unveil it outside. Lord, help us to walk in that light. To remove the corruption, to be agents of purity, even in the corruption of this world. Because of us, we pray that, first of all, two visions, that Lord, because of us, many people will make heaven. Hallelujah. That's the benefit, one of the benefits of that. Because of you, many others will make it. Rather than being dragged down, you will pull them up. And the Lord will help us. In Jesus' name. We are afraid.